Okay, let's unpack this. We're diving into the fascinating world of how universities can creatively blend their academic mission with community engagement and, well, strategic philanthropy too.
Yeah, and our source today is really interesting. It's an internal memo. It details this unique event, an urban farm to table donor cultivation dinner at Springfield University,
Yeah.
SU.
Right, SU. And what's really insightful here, I think, is how just one single event, kind of intimate, can serve so many purposes all at once.
Exactly. It's about weaving them together, education, community building, and crucially, cultivating that future philanthropic support. It's not just separate boxes.
It shows how you can make these different goals actually reinforce each other, doesn't it?
Totally. Creating something, bigger than the sum of its parts.
So for you, our listener, this deep dive is really about pulling out key insights, things about effective event planning, maybe some innovative university ideas, and just the broader impact of something like urban agriculture and academia.
Lots to dig into.
So, okay, this dinner, it wasn't just like a nice meal, right? What was the specific purpose behind this urban farm-to-table thing at SU?
Well, the memo's pretty clear. It had these dual goals. First, they wanted to highlight the nutrition and food studies department's work, but in a fun, educational way.
Okay, showcase their work. Makes sense.
Yeah, but simultaneously, it was designed to engage and cultivate specific people, individuals they thought had the potential to make, significant philanthropic gifts.
Ah, so direct donor cultivation woven in.
Right, to support the department's priorities, which actually included the SU Farm Lab itself. So it's this very deliberate mix of mission and, frankly, financial sustainability.
And it's interesting, the scale mentioned here, just 8 to 10 alumni, friends, parents, people who'd already shown some
Yeah,
interest.
cell group.
But the memo also mentions this long-term goal, making it annual, eventually cultivating 50 to 75 individuals, moving them towards making a gift. How does that work, starting so small for such a big goal?
That's a great question. It's strategic. It's not about casting a super wide net right away. It's about building really deep, meaningful connections with a select few first.
Okay, like a pilot group or influencers.
Sort of. Think of them as catalysts, maybe advocates. You build this strong, engaged core, and they can help inspire or, bring others along later. The intimacy allows for that really personalized interaction.
Which you wouldn't get in a huge gala event.
Exactly. It's much more impactful for this kind of high-level cultivation. The risk, I suppose, is it could feel too exclusive if you're not careful how you frame it. But for this specific purpose, targeting potential major donors, it seems like a very deliberate, probably effective
All
choice.
right, so to really get this event, we need to understand the centerpiece, the SU Urban Farm Lab. What exactly is this thing? It sounds pretty unique.
Oh, it is. Location-wise, it's on the south side of 110 Silver Towers, right at Houston and Worcester. But the really standout detail in the memo, it's noted as the first urban agriculture project in the town square, specifically on a landmarked site. And it got landmark approval.
Wow, on a landmarked site. That must have been a hurdle.
A huge one. Getting that kind of project approved with all the, historical and architectural clearances needed. That's a rare achievement in urban planning. It says a lot about SU's commitment.
Definitely. So who actually made it happen? Who brought it to life?
The source says it was funded by a green grant awarded to a consortium, a group of different players,
Okay.
primarily led by the SU Food Studies Program, but also the Towers Tenants Association was involved. And it's directed by a food studies professor, Selena Davis, with input from a steering committee.
So a real collaboration. And how does it function day to day? Is it just like a nice garden?
No, it's much more than that. It's maintained year-round by students specifically, students in the urban agriculture class. Volunteers help out too, generously, the memo notes.
Ah, so students are actively involved.
Deeply. It's used constantly for teaching and research about urban agriculture right there in Springfield. So you see, it's not just decorative. It's a living laboratory, an educational hub. And like we said, a pretty significant achievement in urban planning and sustainability. That multifaceted nature is key.
Okay, got it. Now, the memo also puts a spotlight on Interim Dean Vanessa Chamberlain being at the dinner. What was her specific role there? It wasn't just to enjoy the food, presumably.
No, definitely not. Her main job was to welcome everyone, of course, but more importantly, to set the tone for the evening. It was a prime chance for her to engage directly, personally with these potential donors, prospects, alumni, parents.
So relationship building at the highest level.
Exactly. And her remarks were specifically designed, the memo suggests, to highlight why alumni and parents come back to campus to engage, yes, but also to keep learning. This dinner is a perfect example of that.
And the planning went down to the seating, didn't it? I thought that was fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Very meticulous. The dean was intentionally seated between two specific individuals labeled rated prospects, Amy Shapiro and Chris Wallerstein. Their info was right there in the guest list packet.
And rated prospects, just so everyone's clear, that means the university has already identified them as having, like, significant potential to donate, right?
Precisely. Their philanthropic capacity and inclination have likely been assessed. So, yeah, it just underscores how every little detail, even where people sit, is strategically planned in these kinds of high-stakes cultivation events.
With nothing left to chance.
Not at this level. It's all about maximizing meaningful engagement, making sure the right conversations can happen.
All right, let's walk through the evening itself. How did the program flow? How did they actually use the night to show off the urban farm and connect it back to the department's work?
Well, first off, the setting was key. It was right in the urban garden under a tent, behind the Towers building along West Houston Street.
So immersive from the get-go.
Totally. It physically placed everyone within the subject matter. It really embodied that idea. SU is known for the intersection of practice and theory. You're literally standing in the practice.
And it wasn't just faculty running everything. You mentioned grad students earlier.
That's right. They were heavily involved, serving the food, bartending, even providing background music. Students were integrated into the event's fabric.
Which must have added a layer of authenticity, seeing the students involved with the program in action.
Absolutely. Okay, so the flow. Guests arrived around 6 p.m., greeted immediately by student musicians, cocktails, appetizers served by grad students, and then Beth Raines and Lizzie Spaulding actually escorted guests through the garden.
Oh, nice. A little tour before dinner.
Exactly. An immediate sensory experience. Mm. Then, by 6:30, they moved guests to the tented area, assigned seating, place cards again, that strategic element.
Okay, everyone's seated. Then the dean speaks.
Right. Around 6:35, once people had their salads, Dean Chamberlain gave her welcome. The memo suggests key points for her. Welcoming everyone, expressing pleasure, noting this farm-to-table dinner was a long-held aspiration.
Setting a warm tone.
Yes, and clearly stating the evening's purpose. Enjoy the harvest prepared in the SU Food Lab kitchen, another connection. Have a fun, educational time, and see firsthand the great work of faculty and students, plus the community link.
So reinforcing those core messages.
Mm-hmm. She also set the stage for later speakers, mentioning they'd hear more about the farm's history and its role in research, teaching, community relations, kept it light too, no test, and suggested brief intros given the small group.
Smart move for an intimate setting.
Very. Then she wrapped up with a simple bon appetit,
yeah,
inviting them to enjoy the company.
It sounds really well orchestrated. You can almost, like, picture it unfolding. That detailed schedule gives a real sense of the experience they were crafting.
Definitely. It wasn't just dinner. It was a curated journey.
So after the dean's welcome, what came next? More food.
Yep. Around 6:45, the next courses were served, family style, again by the grad students, maintaining that sort of communal, shared experience feel.
It's a nice touch, family style. Then the presentations.
Right. Around 7 p.m. Once people were settled into the main course, probably, they had structured presentations but kept them brief. Buzz Cooper talked history of the farm.
Context.
Frank Cooper gave his perspective, more personal, on actually taking care of the garden.
A hands-on view.
And Tangi Hill explained how the farm fits into the bigger picture, the department's structure and goals, linking it back to the academic mission.
Connecting the dots.
And, crucially, they invited questions, made it interactive, not just a lecture. Get the guests involved.
Keeps people engaged. So, history, practice, academic integration. Then dessert.
Then dessert. Around 7:45. And shortly after, maybe 7:55, Alan Spaulding gave the concluding remarks.
What was his role in wrapping up?
His job was key for the follow-through. Thank everyone, obviously. But also reinforced that the connection doesn't end here. The learning doesn't stop. He mentioned upcoming related events.
Keeping the momentum going.
Exactly. And reminded them about their gift or favor, a little takeaway.
Ah.
And importantly, let them know they'd be followed up with soon. Setting that expectation for continued contact.
Ah, the crucial fundraising follow-up signal.
You got it. Every part of the evening, from the garden tour to the student servers to the specific talking points and the final thank you, was designed to build that connection and pave the way for future support.
So this deep dive really shows how one event, planned meticulously, can be this masterful blend: education, community building, and yeah, strategic philanthropy, all rolled into one experience.
Absolutely. And if you connect it to the bigger picture, what it really highlights is how institutions can take these unique assets they have, like an urban farm, especially one on a landmarked site, and leverage them.
Not just for classes.
Right. Not just for the core academic stuff, but as really powerful tools to build relationships, tell their story, and ultimately generate support for that core mission. It's strategic storytelling, but done through direct experience.
Making the university's work tangible, personal.
Exactly. Tangible and hopefully memorable and inspiring.
So here's something to think about. How these kinds of small, intimate, really highly curated experiences, maybe built around something unexpected like this farm, can actually be more powerful.
Potentially much more powerful, yeah. More memorable engines for long-term engagement and ultimately significant support than maybe some bigger, less personal, more conventional events.
So the question for you listening is, what other hidden gems or unique aspects might exist within your own organization or maybe your community? Things that could be leveraged in a similar way.
How could you use those unique assets to cultivate deeper connections and really move towards achieving ambitious goals? Something to mull over.